Okay, we'll pick up on our sermon on Rahab. Maybe I'll finish it this week. And again, we've looked here as a mother in Israel. Pagan. A prostitute. God's grace that saved her and brought her to be a mother in Israel and, as we noted as well, an ancestress of the Lord. In Joshua 2, and I'll read real quick up to where we were, I think, and try not to say too much. We've already said it. But in Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land." And I will say this. There again, here's someone that the Lord had revealed himself to. The Lord had done a work in her heart. He had shown her things. She says, "I know. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. What ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you." And again, a wonderful testimony, statement of this regenerate child of God now. She says, "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also shew kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "For our life for yours. If you utter not this our business, it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward you may go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless for this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever goeth out of the doors of thy house into the streets, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto thy word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window, that scarlet thread that runs through Scripture. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And this former harlot now, whom the Lord had revealed himself to, she knew who these men were. She knew they were God's people. And she would not stand against God's people. She would stand against the king of Jericho and the pagans that she'd grown up with. And sometimes you got to do that. And by this, by her actions, I think she shows, she demonstrates that she was indeed a child of God, born again by the Spirit of God. And we mentioned that last week. I think we left off there where Paul says in Hebrews, and we mentioned we were singing the song today, When I See the Blood. Paul says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And he goes on and says, you know, the blood of bulls and goats can in no wise wash away sin. They were a symbol. They were a picture of what was to come, just as this thread that was out the window was a picture of the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood was shed for everyone that was given him by the Father. And it's evident that Rahab was one of those. God had revealed himself to her, and she took a stand. And we're living in a day and age when it's become more and more important that we take a stand. Exodus 12:13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Verse 22. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all that befell. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered us, delivered unto us the hands of all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. So the spies safely return. They report back to their commander, Joshua, what they had seen, what they had heard, what was evident that the Lord had been doing and would accomplish by his grace. And but for the acts of that harlot Rahab, they would have been apprehended. They would have no doubt been executed. But God's work within her heart accomplished these things. And she demonstrated the work of God by her outward actions. And then when those walls of Jericho eventually come tumbling down, except for that one little house over there, when those walls come tumbling down, Rahab and her family are preserved. She and hers become an exception to the accursed nature of the city and to all its inhabitants. And I won't get into it, but you know, there's another kind of a side story here with Achan. And God said everything is going to be dedicated to him. But Achan kind of saw some things he'd like to have, and he kept them back for himself. And he brought a curse upon himself, Israelite, upon himself and his family. And later on, when when we see the city falls, when God brings the walls down, when the army takes it over, up into Joshua 6 and verse, I'll begin reading verse 22. Joshua 6 and verse 22. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the land, out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, all that was therein, only the silver and the gold, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And then verse 25 tells us, and she dwelleth in Israel even to this day. She dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. That word dwelleth, strong, tells us in the Hebrew, it comes from a primitive root. It means to sit down, to dwell, to remain, causatively to settle, and particularly it means to marry. To marry, to abide, to continue, to endure, to tarry. And we know that by God's grace, Rahab was grafted into Israel. She marries into Israel. She marries one of these men that we believe was one of the spies. And from that union comes eventually our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From that union comes King David. All by the grace of God. God graft this pagan harlot. Joshua saved Rahab and the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Again, folks question Rahab's actions. And yet, they're nothing but lauded in the New Testament. Particularly, we told here, she was spared because of her actions. It's right to stand against wicked governments. And she stood against her own wicked government that were seeking to eradicate the people of God. And she was nothing but lauded for that. And she was grafted into Israel. She married into Israel by God's grace. And Joshua adjured them at the time, saying, cursed be the man before God that raiseth up and buildeth this city of Jericho. He shall lay the foundation therein with his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall they set up the gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noise throughout the country. You read this here, and they destroyed everything, they burnt everything, they kept the treasury for the treasury of God. I can hear my Old Testament professor at that liberal Southern Baptist cemetery saying, that's not the God that I worship. That's the God of the Bible. And if you're not worshiping Him, you're worshiping a false God. And God will bring judgment. And sometimes He brings it through people, through His people, even as Israel brought judgment here upon Jericho, and as Rahab stood against that evil, wicked government under which she had grown up and lived. God used this harlot, not only to deliver the spies, but to demonstrate His own great mercy. Before we saw this episode, if we had come across Rahab, if we met her on the streets of Jericho, we would not have recognized her as one of God's elect. Prior to her encounter with the spies, we wouldn't have known that she was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so sometimes we need to exercise care in dealing with people as well. We don't know who God's elect are. Not that we're to excuse sin or wrongdoing or wickedness. But for the grace of God go we. And there may be one of the elect of God. None of us would have recognized that, but God knows His own. God knows His own, and He will save them. They can be born in a pagan city. They can run a house of ill repute. God knows his own. He'll bring every one of them unto himself. There's not one for whom Christ died that will perish. Not one. The Lord knows when we don't. A couple of examples of 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth that is not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The Lord knew Saul's heart. The Lord knew David's heart. We look on the outward. Really, that's all we're capable of doing. We should recognize that. And 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, Paul writes to young Timothy, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, God knoweth them that are his. What a blessing that is. What peace that God knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, God knows his, and when he makes it known to us that we're his, we should depart from iniquity. It will be manifested. And that's what we see kind of unfold in Rahab's life. She takes a stand against those things. God can change the heart of a harlot. God can bring them to repentance, to faith, to righteousness. We can consider the ministry of our Lord just briefly. Matthew 21, verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing. If you tell me, and likewise, I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. They couldn't tell, they said. But the Lord goes on to relate some things that if you look at the whole episode unfold, you can tell some things. And he goes on in the parable in verse 28. What think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he said, I go, sir. And went out. And went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto you, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. And John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. God revealed these things to the harlots during the Lord's ministry, to Rahab. God changed their hearts. He opened their eyes. He made them alive. You can't do that yourself. I'm not going to beg you to make yourself alive. You can't do that. And after they were made alive, He said, and ye, when ye had seen it, ye repented not afterward that you might believe. You know, without repentance, there's no true belief. And both of those are gifts of the Holy Spirit. The most rank Arminianism today doesn't even preach repentance. It's just believe. Just walk an aisle. Just make a decision. You don't have to repent. You don't have to make Christ the Lord of your life. Well, you can't make him that anyway. He is. But you don't have to recognize him as, they call it lordship salvation. If you say, well, Christ's really isn't your Savior if he's not your Lord. Lord says, you didn't repent that you might believe. God brought repentance to Rahab. She was turned from a life of sin to a life of righteousness, to a life of fruitfulness. She accomplished all this with the spies. She was used of God to spare them, to bring about, from a human perspective, you know, the victory of the Israelites over the pagans in Jericho. Ultimately, to bring forth from her David, King David, and our Lord. Rahab's God-given faith resulted in much more than just her mere physical preservation from the destruction of Jericho. Again, scriptures tell us specifically that she married an Israelite by the name of Salmon. And that doesn't specifically say, the Hebrew tradition in writings indicate that this Salmon was indeed one of those two spies. But regardless, she married a man named Salmon, a man who was the son of the wilderness chieftain Nashon of the tribe of Judah. Salmon and Rahab became the parents of a godly man. Maybe you know his name was Boaz. They were the parents of Boaz. 1 Chronicles 2, verse 11. And Nashon begat Salem, and Salem begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat his firstborn Eliab, and Abinadab the second, and Shema the third, Nathiel the fourth, Radai the fifth, Azim the sixth, David the seventh. They beget Boaz, which, if you remember right, he marries a former pagan as well, by the name of Ruth. God grafts in, makes them a part of his people. But when, you know what? When Rahab came in, she didn't continue to run a house of ill repute. She didn't continue to worship the pagan deities. Some people think, well, we should just welcome in the world and welcome them all of their paganism and, you know, welcome. No. God grafted them into Israel and they became Israelites. So Rahab was the great, great grandmother of King David. How marvelous is God's grace. If there was hope for Rahab, there might be hope for one even such as I. David's great-grandmother was Ruth, again, the wife of Boaz, another Gentile who was grafted into Israel, who was one of God's elect, not by accident, not that God said, oh, well, no, something's messed up here, I've got to bring in some of these pagans. No. God had chosen them from before the foundation of the world. He had determined that they would be mothers in Israel. Ruth 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and he went unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Down in verse 20 of chapter 4 of Ruth. And Abinadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. The rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says, and I'm sure you all know it, and I already mentioned it. But this former prostitute, Rahab, is one of only four women mentioned in Matthew's genealogy of the Lord. Now, the Lord had a lot of ancestors and ancestresses. I mentioned before, if you really look into it, it might disturb you, but Jezebel was one of the ancestresses of the Lord. Jezebel was about the most wicked thing you could come across, except maybe her daughter, who was pretty wicked herself, and married into the southern kingdom of Judah. And from that union eventually came our Lord as well. They're not mentioned in the genealogy. And the fact of who went before us and who our ancestors were, thankfully, doesn't keep us from the kingdom. Some of you might have some horse thieves. Not me, but some of you might have horse thieves back there. Doesn't matter. God can use all that, and we'll use it to His glory. God uses wicked men, but He also uses the righteous and the just, and He grafts them in. And those are the ones that are set forth as examples and types. And so, Rahab is one of only four women mentioned in Matthew's genealogy. Matthew 1, verse 5. And Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab. What a marvelous thing. It's like, what? You and I wouldn't have done it that way, but God did. And Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. What a great honor to be chosen to be not only an ancestor of our Lord, but a godly example and an ancestor of our Lord. Those other females, as I touched on them, that were mentioned in Matthew's genealogy, all of them rather interesting. Tamar. Tamar seduced her own father-in-law that she might raise up a son to her deceased husband. But the Levirate marriage laws required that her father-in-law would give her one of the remaining sons to raise up a son to that dead husband she had. But he failed to do it. She seduces him on a return trip. And she was more righteous, really, than Judah in that case. Not that those things were necessarily good, but God uses them. Ruth, again, a Gentile from Moab. Bathsheba, who we saw mentioned up there, though she's not mentioned by name, the wife of Uriah. Now, what a slap that is at David, right? God uses his genealogy, uses the union of Bathsheba and David to bring forth his son. And yet he's not condoning what happened there. He speaks of Bathsheba and says, who had been the wife of Uriah. David arranged for the death of her husband, that he might cover up that he had made Bathsheba pregnant, that he might cover up his sin. There's no covering up with God. He knows. And God yet can work it all to the good of his people. What marvelous grace. How blessed is that imputed righteousness of Christ that we don't have. Rahab didn't have it. David didn't have it. God imputed the righteousness of Christ. God used Rahab to his honor and glory. And again, he might be able to use such as we. When we consider Rahab. And again, I touched on earlier, and I'll just leave them there pretty much, but how foolish those attempts of some modern-day commentators. Some try to explain away that Rahab wasn't really a harlot. Well, the Scripture says he was. That's what that word means. or that really she shouldn't have done what she did. Well, that's all lauded in the New Testament. She's set forth as an example, even in Hebrews 11. How counter to the purpose of the demonstration of God's mercy and grace. Sometimes we think we're smarter than God, or we're more righteous than God, or we're more gracious than God. Or the thing Arminians like, you know, we're going to be more fair than God. You know, what fair will get you? Condemned forever. That's what we deserve. That's what fairness is. No, I want grace. I want mercy. How foolish many of these attempts. The promotion of human worth. The promotion of human goodness. Again, we talked before, the mother of our Lord. The silly notion that she was without sin. Because Christ was without sin, so his mother must be without sin. Yeah, but what about her mother? And her mother, and her, and all the way on back to, Jezebel! That didn't thwart the Lord's plan. He brought forth that virgin son. He brought forth his son, the product of the Holy Spirit, through Mary. The one who was not without sin, who needed a Savior. She even acknowledges that in the Scriptures. Those things that trying to explain away these things and downplay them, it really shows a misunderstanding of God's grace and a questioning of God's grace. All of the women that are specifically mentioned in the Lord's genealogy provide somewhat of a shock to human sensibilities. That isn't the way we would have done it. I mean, and there were other godly women in the Lord's genealogy that could have been mentioned. Sarah, Rebecca, Leah. All good godly women, good examples. I think these were, again, chosen to show us God's grace, God's plan, what he can bring forth. They're all testimonies. Not that Sarah and Rebecca and Leah didn't use the same grace. But they're all testimonies of God's work of grace. And may sinners such as we glorify God. May all you ladies become, as it were, mothers in Israel. May all us men become, as it were, sinners in Israel. And it's by God's grace. I always reflect back on that verse as Paul wrote to young Timothy. He said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Sinners like Rahab. Sinners like Tamar. Sinners like Ruth. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, I wouldn't dare argue with Scripture, but I think I'm chief. Maybe Paul and I have to share that. Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I do believe more and more as the Lord helps us to see our own state, our own need, our own, truthfully, to view ourselves, we see ourselves as sinners. But we're sinners saved by grace. Paul even says as a saved man over in Romans 7, oh, wretched man that I am! You ever feel that way? Yeah, I do. But I have a sovereign Savior. I have the imputed righteousness of Christ. I don't stand on my own. I stand in Him, even as Rahab did. And when Rahab came to realize these things, when she came to realize who God was, who his people were, what he was working, by his grace, she stood with that. And I pray that we might stand in such a fashion. We'll take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing. Closing hymn together, number 180. When He Cometh, 180. When He cometh, when He cometh. And stand, if you like, as we sing this out. Thank You that You are the sovereign God that You are. You chose the people in Christ before the world was. That You know them. That You'll bring each one unto Yourself. Even such a one as Rahab. Even such a one as me. Even such a one as all of us. Lord, that You give us the righteousness of Christ. That You make us holy and precious. Not of ourselves, but of our Savior. Father, thank You for each one that's here. Pray Your hand upon us in the coming week. I pray, Lord, You be with those who need healing. Those who need comfort. We've mentioned several today. Pray, Lord, in particular, You be with our brother Reagan as he'll be away from us for several weeks and in training. That You might sustain him, that You might use him. Father, thank You for each one that's here. Thank You for our Savior. Thank You for what He accomplished. Thank You, Lord, for revealing to us who You are and whose we are. Help us, Lord, by Your grace to walk in Your ways. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.